Welcome to The Haunted and the Strange. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sean.
Grab a drink, dim those lights, and stay a while.
While we discuss everything.
Well, haunted and strange.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Haunted and the Strange. My name is Amanda.
And my name's Sean.
We are coming to you from two different sides of the pond. I am from Canada.
And I'm from the UK.
We are two friends who met online and quickly learned that our interests are similar.
We are both into ghosts, cryptids, and all things that go bump in the night.
We decided to team up and start a podcast to bring our favorites to you. We hope you enjoy.
The USS Sloop of War Constellation, originally built in 1854, holds a rich history in its time-worn planks. It was one of the last all-sail ships to be commissioned for the US Navy. She was designed by John Lenthal and constructed at the Norfolk Navy Yard in Virginia. Salvaged parts were used from a frigate ship of the same name, which was the predecessor to the Sloop of War Constellation. The first captain to sail the Constellation was Captain Charles H. Bell. This majestic vessel has been involved with various tours, from protecting US interests in the Mediterranean to protecting other interests in the waters around Africa and Cuba. While on station in July 1856, Constellation was dispatched to protect American lives and property at Malaga in Spain during the revolution in the country. While cruising the Sea of Marmara the same year, she rescued a bark in distress and received an official message in appreciation from the court of the Austrian Emperor. The ship has also been involved in numerous battles, including action in the American Civil War. On April 19, 1861, 1 week after Confederate forces fired on Fort Sumter, President Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation declaring a blockade of southern ports. On May the 2nd, he then called for the enlistment of 18,000 additional seamen. Following the president's orders, Constellation seized the brig Triton on May the 21st, 1861, which was the US Navy's first capture of the Civil War. Although the Constellation's men found no slaves on board the captured vessel, they noticed that every preparation for their reception had been made. The Constellation saw plenty of activity in its active life and sailed all over the western part of the world, completing missions ranging from protecting merchant ships to chasing down rebel privateers. She was decommissioned various times in order to complete lengthy repairs and upgrades, but was often recommissioned early in order to complete given missions. Towards the later years of her active duties, she was used as a training vessel, preparing young cadets for the real active life upon the open seas. The Constellation was eventually converted to a stationary training ship after reaching Newport on May the 22nd, 1894. She remained a permanently moored vessel, with the exception of two excursions and occasional trips to the repair yard in the second decade of the 20th century. In June 1904, Constellation was dry docked at the New York Navy Yard for extensive survey and repair. She saw decreased activity for the next 20 years until the Navy then discontinued sail training in 1920. On June 16, 1933, the Navy Department placed an order for Constellation's decommissioned status for preservation as a naval relic. Numerous surveys were conducted and estimates given for the cost of restoring the vessel as a national historic shrine, but no decision on the ship's fate were taken. Global conflict, however, soon revitalized Constellation's active service. Recommissioned again on August 24, 1940, she was classified as a miscellaneous, unclassified, auxiliary, IX-20. On May 21, 1941, Constellation was designated a relief flagship for Admiral Ernest J. King, Commander-in-Chief of the US Atlantic Fleet. Subsequently, with King's appointment as Chief of Naval Operations at the beginning of 1942, the then vulnerable sloop continued in its capacity under Vice Admiral Royal E. Ingersoll from January 19 to July 20, 1942. when the flag was shifted to the gunboat Vixen. Ingersoll once more used Constellation as his flagship during 1943 and 1944. Plans to memorialise Constellation brought her to Boston in October 1946. However, a lack of funds delayed the project. Decommissioned for the last time on February 4, 1955, the old ship was moved to Baltimore in a floating dry dock for restoration and preservation as a historic ship by a private, non-profit organisation. In 1994, Constellation's rigging was removed and she was closed to the public. A newly established Constellation Foundation raised the funds needed for a major renovation project on the ship. After the hull of renovations, the repaired sloop of war returned to her permanent berth in Baltimore's Inner Harbour on July 2, 1999. However, with its illustrious past, the Constellation also carries tales of mysterious and unexplained hauntings. Over the years, many sailors and many visitors have reported encounters with ghostly apparitions and strange occurrences on board. Let us take you on a voyage and delve into the haunting tales surrounding the USS Sloop of War Constellation. Over the years, numerous reports of paranormal activity have been recorded on the USS Constellation. Visitors and crew members alike have reported strange occurrences and eerie experiences while on board the ship. One of the most common sightings on the USS Constellation is that of a shadowy figure moving throughout the ship, sometimes appearing as though they are engaged in activities of a bygone era. These apparitions are often described as translucent or ethereal, adding to the haunted atmosphere. In addition to visual apparitions, visitors have also reported hearing unexplained sounds and feeling strange sensations. Some have heard footsteps echoing in empty corridors, while others have reported feeling cold spots or sudden drops in temperature. These phenomena create an eerie atmosphere and contribute to the ship's haunting reputation. Paranormal investigators have captured electronic voice phenomena, EVP, during their visits to the USS Constellation. These recordings often capture strange voices or whispers that cannot be explained by natural causes. Investigators have also reported seeing objects moving on their own or being pushed by an unseen force. The most common of these sightings are the displayed hammocks moving individually as if they are at sea, but the vessel is in a dry dock and is hard moored so cannot be affected by the motion of the water. A note to remember is that water is often associated with a paranormal and is said to be a great conductor of the energy needed for hauntings and paranormal happenings. An often seen ghostly entity often encountered on the USS Constellation is that of a sailor. He is usually seen on the upper decks, pacing back and forth as if on watch duty. The sailor is often described as wearing a tattered uniform and has been known to interact with visitors on occasions. A photograph was captured showing what appears to be that of a sailor on the upper decks. Maybe this was the ghostly apparition of the sailor still performing his duties. The captain of the USS Constellation has also been reported to make his presence known. Visitors have claimed to see a figure dressed in a naval uniform, standing on the ship's bridge and observing the surrounding area. This spectral captain is said to be stern and authoritative, even in the afterlife. One theory suggests that the hauntings on the USS Constellation are a result of residual energy. According to this hypothesis, the traumatic events that took place on the ship during its active service may have left an imprint on its environment, causing it to replay like a recording. This has often been referred to as the stone tape theory. This residual energy could explain the apparitions and the strange sounds experienced by visitors. Another possible explanation for the hauntings is psychological factors. The USS Constellation has a rich history and is often associated with war and tragedy. The combination of the ship's history, dim lighting and confined spaces may create an environment that triggers feelings of fear and unease. This psychological state could lead individuals to interpret common sounds and occurrences as paranormal activity. If you are intrigued by the paranormal and want to experience the hauntings of the USS Constellation Sloop of War firsthand, you can visit the ship during its opening hours. Guided tours are available, providing an opportunity to explore the ship, learn about its history, and perhaps make your own paranormal encounters. While the paranormal activity on the ship remains unexplained, it continues to draw the attention of ghost enthusiasts and paranormal investigators. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, a visit to the USS Constellation is sure to be an intriguing experience.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah?
Want to make a podcast?
Sure. Can we talk about outrageously dark and scary things like murder and aliens?
Yeah. And is it cool if we talk about beautiful things like divination and astrology?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hi, we're Katie and Kelly, hosts of the podcast, All Things Outrageously Dark, Scary, Beautiful, and Totally True.
We recognize there's a lot of podcasts out there, but what sets us apart is our professionalism and dedication to our research.
New episodes every Wednesday. Tune in, and of course,
have the day you deserve.
So, okay, I don't know a lot about the Civil War because I am Canadian, and I just haven't learned a lot about it.
Me neither.
But before listening to this, you neither, before listening to this, I, in my brain, thought that the Civil War was strictly fought on the land, but it actually makes a lot of sense that the USS Constellation would have been used because the Civil War was... it was like all in the east, so they would have had to go from like south to north, and instead of like going through the land to do a sneak attack, you would go through the water. And I don't know why, like, I'm thinking about this, I'm like, oh, they used boats during the Civil War?
I know, I think one of the first metal-hulled boats was used in the Civil War. Pretty sure it was. I've seen that somewhere. Yeah, which I thought was very interesting. But yeah, like you, I always thought it was land. You never really hear about battles on the water, about the American Civil War. Well, we certainly don't over in the UK, but you always hear about certain battles fought on mounds and hills and all that shit.
But it makes sense, right? Sneak attack, north to south, go through the water. I don't know why I didn't think about that.
But you also think as well, like... boats have been used in battles for thousands of years, so why wouldn't it have been used? Probably because it's never really mentioned.
Right. No. So this boat is now, I think you had said, in Ann Arbor in Boston. Is that... no, I just fucked that up. It's in Michigan. Right?
Boston, yeah. It's in... no, Baltimore.
Boston.
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Boston.
Okay. I don't know why in my brain I thought Ann Arbor. Is that the same?
I have no idea. No idea.
No.
But yeah, it's in the Inner Harbor in Baltimore.
No, I'm just curious. Okay. Okay. Fun fact. Ann Arbor. This is not related to anything right now, but I'm pretty sure it's like in the middle of a state. It's not even near the water. Oh, no, that's not true. It's kind of near Detroit. Okay, never mind.
It's got a pond next to it.
It's got a fucking lake, Amanda. Like, Jesus. anyways.
But yeah, it's in a dry dock in Baltimore. Hard moored. Can't move.
Right.
Solid.
So does that mean it's like up in the air? Like, what is a dry dock?
Well, dry dock can be two things. It can be as in there's no water there, or it can be in like an inner harbour, but it's hard moored, so it'll be permanently lashed up with ropes, or it could even be chained or basically fixed to the ground.
Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking too, but then I was like, okay, well, maybe they like took it out of the water. I don't know. I'm not a boat person.
Because I know it is, when you look at pictures and videos and whatnot, it is still in the water, but it's hard moored. it can't be influenced by the water. So,
well, that's good. I know I was watching a show. This is kind of related. I was watching a show. It was probably Ghost Hunters because I've been binge watching it lately. And they were on, I can't remember which ship they were on, but it was in the water. And they kept wondering if what they were hearing is just like the waves lashing on the boat.
Yeah.
So maybe that's on the ship, not on the boat. I know that it's a ship, but maybe that's some of it too.
Like yeah,
that's some of like what people are hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even though the boat is not going to move with the water, you're still going to get the lapping of the water hitting the side of the hull. And with that will come the creaks and, you know, it's a wooden vessel as well. So you're going to get expansion and contraction with temperature changes, with moisture changes. You know, if anybody knows anything about wooden hull boats, they do contract and expand. So that will cause creaks and moans and cracks and all sorts. So yeah, definitely some of the stuff that people hear can definitely be related to some of that kind of stuff. But I don't think all of it.
Right. No, I don't think so either. Well, and like even a house, like my house will shift in weather, right? Yeah. Like in the winter, like it shifts in, yeah. Like in the wintertime here, I have a spot on my main floor that creaks because the house has shifted. And then in the summer, it doesn't do it.
Yeah. Well, when it rains here, which is pretty much all the fucking time, I can't close my front door.
When it rains?
It gets stuck because it expands.
Yeah. When does it not rain there?
It's usually a Tuesday in October. That's about it.
It's funny.
We can name those by the days.
Yeah, I bet. So I was curious because they have seen like shadowy figures here, objects moving, people getting pushed, footsteps, cold spots, all that fun stuff. Do you know if anybody died on the ship? Or is it just energy that's stuck?
I believe people have died on the ship, yeah. I know they had
okay.
They had like a medical kind of hospital on the boat, so I'm pretty sure people will have died. I haven't come across anything that specifically says a specific person that's died, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the missions that the boat has been on, you know, you're going to get, and all the years it was active as well, the amount of times it was decommissioned and then recommissioned. So somewhere along the line, you're going to get somebody that's died.
Right. Okay. And I know I said, like, it was just energy. Obviously, you know that I think that any haunting is energy. That's given. But I was just wondering if anybody had been documented as dying that you had known of. And then you had said that the sailor that's on the upper deck, his clothes were tattered.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, his uniform or his clothes or whatever he's been wearing him a prolonged period of time, or he's well worn in and hard working.
Yeah. I was wondering, though, if they were tattered because of maybe some kind of an accident, like maybe he got injured and was brought back onto the ship and his clothes were burnt or shredded or something like that. And that's how he now appears.
Yeah. What it could be as well, because the Constellation went on quite a few rescue missions, or there was one in Malaga, around Spain. You know, so they're rescuing people or they're repatriating people. Maybe this sailor that's in the tattered clothes is somebody that's been rescued or recovered.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good, yeah, okay. I can get on board with that theory. That would make sense. So you'd mentioned that there was a photograph, and I've seen it, and I'm going to post it, and it looks definitely like a sailor. It's actually pretty wild. I don't know if it's real or if it was tampered with. I'm not an expert on that, but it is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, from what I've read, I don't think it's been tampered with. I think it's an authentic picture. And what's really cool about it is you can, it kind of fades out as you come up the body. So you can't see the top half of the sailor or the officer. You can just see the feet walking. And if you look really closely, yeah, you can see he's wearing, you know, smart, shiny kind of sailor's boots and the old style sailor's trousers that you have with a stripe down the side of them. So it looks quite authentic, yeah, to me.
Like, I'm looking at it right good now. And it almost looks like they're like marching, because it almost looks like there is an arm that's like swung background, like swung back, or like a gun or like a sword or something, but there's something that's swung backwards.
Yeah, and they're saying he's kind of in that motion where he, you know, he's pacing up and down the decks as if he's on active duty. You know, maybe this was an officer, yeah, that's checking up on the sailors on the deck, or, you know, making sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But what they also said as well is that the captain one of the captains was quite stern. You know, he's really strict. Everything had to be, excuse the pun, shipshape. So could it be him?
So maybe it's him. Yeah.
Could be. Pacing back and forth, checking on these sailors.
Yeah. I'm like obsessed with this picture. I just keep staring at it. But yeah, like I think like there's obviously a lot of residual energy that's here that's prevalent because, you know, why else would there be knocking and stuff? Well, knocking, but that could be the waves, but footsteps. Definitely.
Yeah.
You can tell when you can hear footsteps.
Yeah, it's a distinctive sound. I think you can right, kind of attribute some of the knocking to like the creaking, the expansion of the boat. But you know a footstep when you hear it. And, you know, it's quite hard to naturally mimic that, possibly, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the things that got me as well was the hammocks. I don't know if you've ever seen the Holzer Files. It's a TV show about Hans Holzer.
No, I haven't. I know you talk about it.
Yeah, brilliant. Hans Holzer, the OG of paranormal investigation. But
yeah.
No, they did an investigation on the Constellation. And in one of the videos, there's rows of hammocks. You know, I'd probably say there's maybe 20 hammocks. And all of a sudden, and bear in mind it's a dry docked boat, there's no motion from the waves. Yes, you can hear the waves lapping on the hull, but the boat will not physically move because it's dry docked. But amongst all these hammocks, just one of them starts swaying on its own. Now, if it was the wind, you'd have a few of the hammocks moving. If the boat could move, then all of them would be moving. But there's just this single hammock on its own that just suddenly starts swaying. And it's incredible to watch, to be quite honest, but you'd find it quite difficult to debunk.
And this is on the Holzer Files. What is it? The Holzer Files?
Holzer. Hans Holzer.
Holst.
He's originally Austrian.
Holzer.
H-O-L-Z-E-R.
Yeah, I've heard of him, but I don't know how to say his name. Okay. And this is like on the show, you can see this happening.
Yeah. So they kind of have like, I suppose you call it CCTV running constantly, and they go back to view it, and there's just this little bit. But before that, you can see kind of an orb that flies across. Now, orbs, I'm a bit indecisive about orbs. I think most of the time it's dust, but that's me. But anyway, you see this little orb or piece of dust, whatever, fly across the screen, and then this single hammock just starts swaying on its own. Amazing. Mm.
Okay, I'm into that. That's super cool.
Mm.
And then they caught EVPs of whispers and stuff too, hey?
They did, yeah. On the actual, on the show, he gets kind of like, he says he gets bitten on his arm. When they look back, it's like a big scratch mark down his arm. Yeah.
Shit.
There's a lot of activity. Definitely a lot of activity on there.
That's so weird. I wonder if there was like animals on the ship at some time.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, and then you had mentioned, you know, like the history of the boat, the dim lighting, all of that might trigger like some kind of like a psychological thing, you know, that feeling of like unease.
Yeah.
That does make a lot of sense. Mm. Being where you are, you're in like a tight place. You know that there was a lot of trauma there.
Yeah. But you've got that preconception, haven't you, when you go onto the boat or into anywhere, you know, if you're investigating ghosts and paranormal and stuff, you've got to look at the other side of it as well. If you don't, then you're just being, you know, swayed towards one opinion. But so what they're saying is you know that this boat has had death possibly, or where it's been a rescue boat, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that could contribute to the psychological kind of profile that you're going to start thinking you're hearing stuff or seeing stuff and so on and so forth. So you've got to look at that as well. When you're talking about hauntings and stuff, you've got to look at your surroundings as well. Can this be contributing to what you're seeing and feeling?
Well, if they're doing tours there too, you're going to have a lot of people that are coming in that don't know how to like debunk stuff. So they're, oh God, oh gosh, over every little thing. Whereas if you get like a group of like legitimate paranormal investigators, they know, and they know what's what. They usually do not investigate alone. This is part of the reason why. And they can kind of debunk things a lot easier. But if you get just some random person who doesn't know and they're, oh gosh, it's apparently haunted. Oh my gosh. Right. Yeah. They're going to possibly feel or see things that aren't actually there.
Yeah. And if you're going on a tour with a group of people as well, you're going to start feeding off each other's energy. So if one person says, oh, I've just seen something.
Yeah.
If it's a group of 20, 15 of those people are going to go, oh yeah, I saw that too. But they probably didn't. But they're just they're so engulfed in the energy that's being emitted that they're going to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, I just gave myself some homework because I really want to watch this episode now.
Like season
that
one.
Holzer.
Don't know which episode.
I can't fucking say it.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Holzer.
Holzer files. Okay. I did it. Holzer. I don't know why I just. I don't know. Anyways. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on.
You can find us on Instagram at HauntedStrangePod.
For each of our episodes, we will be doing a post on Instagram as well, so you can head over there and check out some images for each episode.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Haunted and the Strange.
Until next time, stay spooky!
Hello, twisted humans. Do you find yourself wanting to know more about the latest murder, conspiracy, cult, or haunting?
Then this is the podcast for you.
In 1952, there was a record high of UFOs reported. 1,500 sightings.
There has been evidence of human sacrifice, devil worship, and it is haunted by more spirits than can be counted.
A family of two adults and two kids reportedly saw a giant flying thing with glowing red eyes.
And meanwhile, the family's nanny that helped Veronica to care for her and Lucian's children was found bludgeoned to death in the basement of their family home.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sierra. And this is
Twisted and Uncorked.